Please be seated. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. I love that this is the last thing Jesus does before being carried up into heaven. Blesses his disciples. The people who have traveled with him and worked with him and learned from him, and the people who will take that learning and carry on the work in his name. A blessing is a powerful thing. A blessing is a powerful thing, but you might not know it the way we throw the word around. It's sort of become just another word for lucky or for grateful. And while it is certainly good to notice and appreciate the good things in our lives, claiming they are evidence of being blessed is not only wrong, it is harmful. If my health is a sign that I am blessed, what does that mean that you are ill? What does it mean when I become ill? If good fortune, either random luck or more commonly, the structural advantages that some enjoy, are evidence of being blessed, what does bad luck mean? What does oppression or marginalization mean? This understanding of blessing turns it into a weapon and puts God firmly on the side of the powerful and the privileged and the healthy and the happy. And Jesus is very clear that this is not where God stands. People with very little can also be very blessed. Especially so, in fact, as Jesus says, blessed are the poor. And people who are very unlucky can also be very blessed. Especially so, as Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. So what then does blessed mean? What was Jesus offering his disciples? Like many words that come to us through ancient languages and long histories, the word blessed points to a number of complicated ideas. To be blessed is to be the recipient of God's favor, of God's particular care and attention, which is not revealed through one's material well-being, no matter what some salespeople might like us to believe. People who are sick or sad or in trouble are blessed because God cares about them and is with them, even while they are suffering. And people who are healthy and happy and have lots of opportunities are blessed because God cares about them and is with them in the midst of their happiness. So when Jesus blessed the disciples, he was telling them that God loves them and would be with them, even when Jesus himself was no longer standing on the ground next to them. And so the disciples could return to the city filled with joy, for they knew that God was with them. And that is indeed a wonderful thing to know. But that's not all there is to being blessed. Being blessed is even bigger than the promise that God is with us. To be blessed is to be with God, to be made part of God's love for all the world, to become a source of God's care and attention for others. And this is why the church sometimes blesses things like boats or homes or cars or bicycles. We are asking God to make those tools a source of enrichment in people's lives, to ensure they fulfill their purpose of transportation or security or fun or hospitality. We bless babies and marriages and people and pets because we want them to be under God's care and because we want them to be a source of joy and love, revealing God's presence to the world around them. Notice what Jesus said just before he blessed his disciples and was carried into heaven. He said, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That power was the Holy Spirit, who would come to the disciples and give them the strength and the knowledge and the faith they would need to carry on Jesus' work of healing the sick, welcoming the stranger, and proclaiming God's perfect love. The Holy Spirit would transform the disciples into being a blessing. Because being blessed always goes two ways. Being blessed isn't good luck. It is a great responsibility and a great joy. It is an invitation to be part of God's work in the world. We are blessed and we are called to be a blessing. God is with us and we are called to take care of God's world. And so, like the disciples, we continue with joy and praise. For the ascension of Jesus does not remove Jesus from this world. It does not erase the miracle of the incarnation, but rather deepens its mystery as the Word made flesh is no longer limited to the body of the person of Jesus, but takes up residence in us. Together, the body of Christ, and each of us individually members of it. This is the blessing, the gift and the responsibility and the promise. It is our hearts that must break open, our hands that must heal, our feet that must walk alongside those in need, our arms that must open wide in welcome. And in just a few minutes, we will be baptizing a new member into this special community of blessing that is the body of Christ. Now, little Oliver, who's not actually so little, but is still too little to understand just what will be happening, but that's okay. His parents and his family are claiming this blessing with all of its gifts and all of its responsibilities on his behalf. And we, as the church, are bearing witness, offering welcome and making room as this little one is joined to Christ and so is joined to each one of us. We will pour water on him to show that he has passed from death into the risen life of Jesus. We will anoint him with oil to mark him as Christ's own forever. We will give him a candle and call him into ministry in Jesus' name. We will bless him, and we will be blessed by him, as together we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live as Jesus' blessing for all the world.